Hey everybody, how are you? Josh Ricardo here, Slam Peak Podcast. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. It's been a fabulous, fabulous holiday season. We've gotten through the holiday season, and now I am back off the old hiatus, and I'm here with you. I like how you said hiatus, like I'm really an important guy, like I'm Howard Stern or somebody where people can't wait to have me back. Maybe some of you can. I've gotten some cool emails. Some of you may hate me, but at the end of the day, I hope you're glad that I'm back, because I'm glad to be back. That being said, I come at you bearing gifts from the holiday season, and this show is definitely a gift. My friend Robin Cohen is on the show today. Robin is an amazing actress, Juilliard-trained dancer, which for some of you, I don't know if you know what that means, but you know, me being a New Yorker and also in the arts, it's pretty big. It's a pretty big deal. I saw the movie. I'm a huge Wes Anderson fan, as a lot of you know, and I was on Thanksgiving break, I think it was, and I decided, you know, I've never seen Life Aquatic, the movie with Bill Murray about, you know, he's like this kind of Jacques Cousteau guy. So I decided, you know, I'm gonna turn this on. I gotta watch this. You know, it's one of the, probably the only film of his I haven't seen yet. And I saw this amazing looking woman, but also doing something really incredible where her character is basically topless the whole film, and you don't even notice it because she's playing it so straight up. And I was like, God, I'm crazy intrigued by this person already. And not just because she's topless. You know, I've seen a lot of topless people. For you people out there that think I don't have game, I got a lot of game, okay? I see a lot of people topless. Now, that being said, I found her. We started talking. I talked to her about being on the show, and she was really responsive, and we had this really great chat. And then fast forward to, you know, almost 2 months later, her and I still talk, and she's, I consider her a friend, and she's awesome. We had a chance to meet in New York City, and she's really great. And we break down so many different levels of being an actor and being an artist and just who she is. And also not only just working on that film, but she does a ton of other stuff. She's in a film with Adam Carolla coming out, which she'll plug at the end of the show, and I'll tell you about it again. But she is awesome. I love her, and you're going to love her. So please listen and enjoy my friend Robin Cohen. All right. Like everybody, hello. I always say this every week, but it really is truest to form this week. I am the luckiest man, but I make my own luck, as does Billy Zane in the movie Titanic. but I am lucky today because I'm with my guest, and my guest just, you know, she's a little embarrassed, but I'm gonna lay it out there. I'm a huge Wes Anderson fan, as a lot of you guys know. And I was on vacay, and I stumbled upon Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Is it Zissou, Robin? How do you
Zissou
say it?
Zissou or Zissou?
Zissou, right? Zissou.
Zissou. Zissou or Zissou.
And I came – see, I ruined it a little bit, but you just heard her voice, all right? We haven't said her name yet. Okay, hold on. And I came across this really beautiful actress, and she – what I love about what – she embodied in that role. It was like her character plays this it's Robin Cohen. Robin, so what is your character in that? what would you describe as your character? Is it, you're not a scientist necessarily. You're like the production manager of the film, right? Like you're the PA, not PA, but like the line producer. Is that what it is?
So, you know, in the Life Aquatic, we're sort of like a Jacques Cousteau outfit.
Yes.
And we're on an expedition in the Mediterranean, and we're making a movie in the movie. And so technically I'm a script supervisor.
That's what it is. Okay. Yeah.
And a script supervisor, scripty.
Yeah.
Anne-Marie Sackowitz is the character.
Yes, that's your character. Okay. let me get into this now. All right. Now we got that straightened out. Lay it out for the listeners.
Okay,
so
okay.
I'm seeing this, and, Wes Anderson, because I'm such a huge Scorsese guy, but he's so far beyond my generation. And I remember reading an interview with Scorsese. He's like, Wes Anderson's going to be the new Martin Scorsese. I remember reading this quote like 10 years ago. And this is the one film of Wes I've not checked out yet. And I finally watched it. And Robin comes on, her character. And the way she's topless, like 95% of the film you're in, topless, right? And there was not one part about it, and I've told this over the phone, that to me was like ultra sexual. It was like a part of her character. It was amazing because she pulls that off so well. And I thought, wow, this person's – to be able to do that, it's super interesting that she's capable of separating the two from an actor point of view. You know, like – so, Robin, you've been through a ton of training, obviously, by looking at your work. And when you went and read for the role, did they tell you right off the bat, like, hey, you're going to be topless the whole time pretty much?
Well, I read the script and it delineated that.
What a great word, delineated.
Yeah. And so I did know that it was going to be that way. You know, there are – in the movie, because we're emulating Jacques Cousteau and what he did, Jacques Cousteau was obviously French.
Yes.
And there's kind of, I think, a joke in there that's always struck me, which is that we're, of course, not French. But
not
we're
at
trying
all.
To be this expedition. We're trying to be this group of people that wants to sort of associate with that kind of, that caliber of documentary filmmaking that Jacques Cousteau did. And so toward that end, I figure, you know, although I'm clearly an American girl in the movie.
You're embodying the French.
French. I'm topless because it goes without saying that I'm like a Jacques Cousteau kind of, you know, character, and therefore vis-a-vis French and
sure.
French some of my ways.
So when you're okay, so refresh my memory. A lot of it is you're topless when you're outside, but when you're indoors, you have clothes on. So it's
sometimes
for the most part, right?
For the most part, outside, and there's, you know, I don't do a lot in my job. Although I'm the script supervisor on the film, I do a lot of like sunbathing rather than actually doing my job.
Sure.
So that it's and that's outside, and then inside, but inside as well. It happens inside.
But that's
as well.
That's my point though.
Yeah.
Like I've seen a million films where a woman's body is a character, but also she doesn't have much character beyond that. And what was interesting about the way you play the role is it becomes a part of you in the sense of like when I'm watching it, I never felt like, oh, this is a beautiful woman's just breasts I get to just stare at and objectify. It's weird because I love to objectify body parts and I didn't do that. And I was like, what is, and then I go, am I gay? Am I now gay?
It's just, it's not really sexual, you know, in the movie. It's almost scientific. It's almost clinical.
It really is.
No, it's clinical nudity. And it's almost like if you go into the National Gallery of Art or, you know, you go into a museum. It's sort of like painting, artwork, right?
So I was just in the Louvre and I was also at the Musée d'Orsay. And, you know, Gustavo's painting of the vagina, I'm in. I was turned on. I was into it. I loved it. So you were – it was – so when you – what I want to know is when you were trying to get into character, because you bring something that I don't – that I think is particular to you, and I'm not trying to give you more credit than you deserve. It's a true thing just from actor to actor. The way you are in it – because your character – I'm not going to give the plot away, but your character has some dilemmas that she expresses in the film, and your character – the way you play it, was it a conscious effort to keep that separate, even though you were topless? How did you find a way to play it in a very straight-up way, even though you're revealed? Was that hard for you to get there?
Well, inside of the character and the character story and getting inside the world of Anne-Marie Sackowitz, not difficult. It just goes without saying for her. It just goes without saying. That's just how she functions. She's in Europe. She's on the Mediterranean. And you know, interested in sort of, you know, being free and not saddled with clothing, and you know, doing her job, and
because you have like a clipboard, like it's pretty great, it's pretty funny actually. Like you have this clipboard and like your top, it's really funny. Like it's good. It's a little the
because
subtleties are very good.
It's not ever acknowledged.
No, ever. That's what's great.
And we don't acknowledge it. No one talks about it. I just happen to walk into rooms without a top on. Like, it just happens that way. But
was
that's
it nerve-wracking shooting it? Sorry to cut you off. But was it nerve-wracking at first, or are you pretty comfortable with yourself?
It was nerve-wracking for me, for sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I hadn't done that, and I certainly hadn't done it I've done a lot of theater. I hadn't even done it in theater on stage, and then to do it in a medium where, you know, some millions of people would see it, I hadn't done it. So I was, I did Robin feel very shy. I didn't as the character, if that uh-huh. makes sense.
Actors that listen to the show, because I just as people that know me and they know some of the things I've done and the kind of work I put out, the female form and sexuality is a very huge point in what I do. And the show kind of is about that because I only have on powerful females or women that I want to hear their voice, you know, that look a certain way, that maybe are depicted one way, to hear their voice. So yeah. For my listeners that are actors and or whatever they are, how did you conquer that? I get that it's our job. I mean, it's our job. It's what we do. But for you personally, not that it became personal, but where did you have to go to mentally to do that?
I would say I never conquered it. I would say that it's only a decade later that I feel comfortable with it. And the only thing that's healed the wound is time.
Really? How so, though? Like, what do you feel about it? I mean, you look incredible.
Thank you.
In it, you look incredible. I mean, I'm not seeing her breasts now, just for everybody else. She has a shirt on. I'm saying then, she looks very great. So what about it would be awkward and weird for you?
I somehow managed to... back then just pull a lot of like embarrassment into it and shame and weirdness that young women do. And they're 20, you know, I just sort of pulled that into the mix. Just, I suppose that was my own, that was what was going on with me psychologically, but, I've sort of moved through that, but I also, for whatever reason, aligned myself with people at the time that it came out that didn't support it and weren't celebrating it, you know, in a way.
Well,
and
who
so
was celebrating it? If you don't, I mean, I'm not going to spend this whole interview talking about this, but I think it's a good way to start it out because it is something I find very interesting about you, a little sliver of you that can kind of lead into what you're about as a whole as we talk more. But what kind of people, was it family members? Was it a boyfriend? Was it, who was it that was like not supportive of you? Or was it a general sense of feedback?
It was a general sense that I had that I'm sure I projected onto everybody and then brought in with like people I was dating and stuff like that. And so I didn't necessarily, celebrate it at the time. Although while I was shooting it, you know, what's interesting is that siphoning that out. So the problems that I had with being topless, the problems that I had, I could not have on set with Wes Anderson because Anne-Marie Sackowitz doesn't have those problems. Those are Robin problems.
Uh-huh.
So it's an interesting process whereby I can't have the problems that I have. I have to have the problems of the character, and the character has no problem with nudity, right? So like it's an interesting portal that you have to go through so that you can do the job personally, I did sort of struggle with it a little bit and had to kind of steel myself in order to do it. And I was the actress that put on a robe in between takes for sure. It was a sort of throughout the process, I was back and forth between just sort of my shoulder behind the character doing what I had to do. And then sort of on my own kind of dealing with the, oh gosh, and this is forever. And what's Grammy going to say? And you know,
do you think it affected, I have two questions for you. Do you think, it's not really a question, it's more of a statement. As actors, because women are always so conscious of being nude on something. I mean, I work in, you know, art films that I do where there is nudity sometimes, and I hear all kinds of women who are just starting out on how like, oh, I can't be nude. And I get that becomes whatever the opportunity is. I mean, if Wes Anderson says, hey, this is this character, it's a Wes Anderson movie, you make a move. Yeah. It's a real movie. So with you, when you were making this, I feel like with your personality, maybe you probably wouldn't have gone topless for something lesser unless you truly believed in it. Are you truest form artist in that regard? Like, would you really believe in the product?
That's an interesting question. If it's a role that I want to play, whether it's in a small theater in Hollywood, but with caliber actors and director or script, and it's something I want to do the storytelling of, I would do it. But but to answer your question, the fact that it was Wes Anderson had a lot to do with my doing a movie where I was 90%, you know, topless. The fact that it was him, and I, you know, esteem him so much. I think he's just an incredible unique, phenomenal artist. Sure, and I wanted to see what it was like to be in his world of art and craft. And so, but I haven't done it before, and I haven't done it since.
Yeah, yeah. So, it was a special, unique moment.
Yeah, 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 it was.
It's interesting because the way you approach it is how anybody would approach any role, where they have to separate the person from the character. I mean, I'm sure people, you play a person who has to get an abortion. If you don't believe in abortion, it's the same struggle that you have to go through as you did with being topless. But I feel like it's so weird that people look at the physicality of it in such a different way. It's a part of acting.
But that also has to do with our American Puritan value system. I mean, our this country founded on a culture of Puritanism. I mean, it's all inherited and it's all sort of made up. It's not, if I was European, I probably would not have straddled that, you know, shame, excitement. I would have just been excited to do it. But, you know, because of where I happened to be born and the values and the culture that I inherited, it's sort of like a thing. It's a thing here. But,
Isn't it great though? Like that's why it's all marketing at the end of the day. It's for America. Sex sells more here because we tell people how bad it is.
Yeah,
it makes you want to go bang more. Like literally, it makes me want to go have more sex. Thinking about how sinful it is. I love it. I can't wait. do you feel like it hurt you going out for different things after that? I guess it's the last question regarding that.
No, I don't think it hurt me. In my mind, I thought it would actually be useful in some ways, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah.
In a lot of ways to learn and to grow and to be a better actor, you know, coming through it. I'm sure there was a phase of the game where I was like, oh, is this going to make it seem like I'm, you know, I don't know. Am I going to be now approached by the porno industry? And is that what's going to, you know, there were moments where I sort of feared that would be something that became like my emblem, you know, the topless girl, but it hasn't.
That didn't happen.
I made some wonderful friends there. I was surrounded by great artists. I was in Italy for 4 months. You know, it was an experience where it was really, really rich, and I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad I'm through the shame part, because that was fun. Like
that was self-inflicted too. That was all you for the most part, right? Yeah,
absolutely, for the most part, yes. Yeah.
So for the ladies out there, if I contact you for my film and I think you need to be topless, take this. You got to do it. You just got to let it out.
Can't let it fly.
That was a good So topic. Where are you born? Where are you growing up at? I want to get some insight of you.
I was born in Maryland, but now that I live in Los Angeles, I tell people that I'm from D.C. because people in Los Angeles don't know where Maryland is.
Are you from Hagerstown? I know Hagerstown.
There's a theater in Hagerstown. I did a tour of a play that went through Hagerstown. But there's people think Maryland is like next to Ohio or something. And so since I've been in Los Angeles, I just say I'm from D.C. because I grew up about 20 minutes north of the White House. So I just say D.C., although I'm from Maryland.
You're from Maryland. Maryland. You love the show The Wire.
You know, it's a good show. It's graphic. Good show. And a beloved show.
Okay. All right. A little context for the listeners. I don't know Robin personally, but we have interacted over the phone and had some conversation. And so I think I have some insight to her personality, and she's a little bit of a mystery to me. I don't know.
I've never watched The Wire. I've never watched The Wire. I've never seen it, Josh.
I'm not talking about The Wire now. She's admitting she's never seen it.
I'm sorry. Lo siento. That means I'm sorry in Spanish. Lo siento. Okay.
So she's she said it's a little graphic. I don't consider it to be a conservative individual because I don't know her personality that well, but she throws – it goes back and forth where I feel like there's this very artsy, free-form woman, and then there's this woman – that's a little much. Like I feel like I meant
graphic violence. I didn't mean – I meant graphic violence.
Even so, there's always – there's been a piece of me – with her, when I'm speaking with her, where I'm like, do I gotta mind my P's and Q's around Robin? I just envision her being like, now, Joshua, this is not appropriate.
I do teach. Maybe it's not. You're getting that. Do you feel like a pupil?
No, because I'm too dominant for that. I feel like you could be in a position of power, but it just makes me more want to be involved in figuring out how to knock that down in a good, in a positive way, like in a good way, to be your equal. I want to be your equal.
You are. We are.
I know
are
we are. I turned this into a whole other thing.
No.
Okay, all right. So, as my listeners know, I've talked a lot about dominant and submissive relationships on my show. It's something that I practice in. And I find it interesting. I'm not saying there's nothing going on here with Robin and I, just to be very clear. But it is hard sometimes for me not to kind of click that button on. So when she talks to me in a very slow way, it makes me want to go like, is she trying to take power over me? Which is kind of exciting because then I want to kind of get in this like back and forth with her. And then I have to check myself and be like, I have to mind my P's and Q's with Robin.
I mean, this is a roller coaster. This is the roller coaster we're on here.
So funny. So yeah, that's interesting to me. So you grow up in Maryland. You know Hagerstown, which is crazy. I thought I was the only one that's been to Hagerstown. Apparently you have to.
There's a roller coaster there. And then to New York.
Oh, you lived in New York for a while too?
5 years, yeah.
Oh, so that's why you're more of a – you're classically trained, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much? Yes, no, maybe so. Because you're a theater gal. You're theater. Yes. You love theater.
I do.
You're great at the live performance. You're good at just – that's a different kind of acting too, what you do. That's impressive.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I like live. It's like similar to, live, a sports arena. It's like live sports,
Well, I'm a stand-up, so I respect live performing.
Yeah. So the performing arts. So I was there in school and so lived there about 5 years. And then
what kind of stuff do you work on while you're out here?
Out here, out in New York?
I'm in New York. She's in LA. Sorry, guys. Yes, out here in New York, where I'm at.
I'm in New York, so I went to Juilliard, and I was there performing in Lincoln Center for for 4 years.
Wow.
They have us utilize the theaters there, and so in and around, the Met and the Philharmonic, and then we were performing there on the stages and training, and I didn't really leave Lincoln Center. You sort of are sequestered in the plaza area.
I love Lincoln Center. Yes, I'm very familiar. Look, I'm so impressed. Look at you, Juilliard. That is, I mean, just so everybody knows, it's not like I'm not doing my homework on this person. I have, but I'm not going to over research someone. I want to get to know him. You're a very impressive woman. I am crushing very hard on you right now. It's a big deal. I have a lot of problems right now with Robin and her mysterious. Almost distant ways.
Distant yet slightly dominant ways. Hard to say.
Do they make you major in something at Juilliard, or is just a consist? It's just a shit storm of art. Like what do you focus on?
I majored in classical dance at the time, and then I sort of fashioned kind of a theater program for myself with electives, because they're pretty rigid about you're either a dance major, you're a theater major, you're a musician, singer. They're pretty structured in that way. And so, but at the time I was doing, a lot of like Broadway types of shows, musicals and plays at all. I was working in the summers when I wasn't in school. And I took a lot of courses in the various departments, but I majored in dance, classical, ballet, all that, and then of course you use that in theater, in shows that you do. So I used all of that, but
I got beef. I'm sorry, I got beef with you. Before we started this show, this woman, this Robin Cohen, asked me to dance for her. Okay. She did not disclose to me that she's a trained Juilliard fucking dancer. This is the world I'm living in, folks. This is the mystery of her, what she's doing. She holds her cards very close. She's very tricky.
You were beautiful out there.
Now you're patronizing me. You're so good at this.
No,
you have such a good heart.
No, I mean it. He got up and he danced. It was a mixture of like 80s breakdancing and salsa, and it was awesome.
I sideways moonwalked her.
And I loved it. And I hope your viewers can someday see what I got to see.
They have seen it. Dating Set Season 2, Episode 4. Just go there. You'll see it. But yes, I am so – I'm kind of – I had to take a step back because I am a New Yorker. And I don't see how anybody who has been a New Yorker, especially in the arts, could ever move to LA and be happy. And you are in LA and doing your thing, which is great. But at the end of the day, now that I know you're Juilliard trained and you're this elegant woman, what was it just solely because you see you're a trained dancer and then you go, okay, well, Broadway is one thing because you do musical theater. Mm-hmm. But to be where you're at now, where you're doing just straight up theater and straight up acting, like when was that a choice? Especially if their curriculum is so rigid. Mm-hmm. How did you make that decision?
Dancing was something I majored in, not because acting wasn't my focus, but because when you're young and it's sort of like, you know, it's like being a gymnast or something. The dance part wants to happen. It has to happen when you're young. And I wanted the training and I wanted to be able to do it at the top of the field. And, you know, I worked a lot doing musicals and I utilized all of that. But it's the kind of thing like you got to be in dance class every day, you know, like an athlete or anything where you're using your body to that degree. So I was always doing theater. I was always doing it and always acting. But I moved to Los Angeles, you know, because there were more acting opportunities mm-hmm. in general, overall. Although I've shot a couple of TV series in New York City and I've loved that. That's been joy to go back to New York and
do you love New York or do you like LA better? You're not going to offend anybody out here. I know people have very, it's never a gray area. It's like, I love it, I hate it type thing.
I love New York and I, you know, I'm so inspired there and I love being there, but I, you know, New York and LA are so distinct. You know, New York City has its own electricity. You walk outside and you feel like you're being electrocuted all the time. And it's unbelievable. It's like in a good way, in a good electrocution.
Yeah.
Los Angeles is vapid. It's a desert. There's nothing here. So if you want to make anything happen in Los Angeles, you have to be the electricity. It's all self, it's volition, and it's all your own sort of will. And whereas in New York, it can be confusing because you can think you have it going on and you're actually being proactive, but really it's just the city doing its thing.
That's the lead singer is the city. You're just a background player. No, I hear what you're saying. That's a really great analogy, actually. I find myself, because I'm originally from California, but I go to LA a lot now for work. I find that I love New York. I love being a New Yorker. But I do find myself kind of missing parts of LA. But I actually don't foresee myself not missing New York forever if I'm ever out of it. I don't know what it is. It's just something about the harshness of it that I really relate to that.
It's a tough city. And when I moved out here right after college, you know, I knew I was going to pound the pavement somewhere. I just decided to do it in my car instead of the actual pavement. It's a tough city, you know, and you carry your life in a backpack on your back and you're going from audition to audition and classes and meetings and appointments and class and another audition. And it's a haul. It's a real haul. And I've done the same thing in Los Angeles. I've just been floating a foot above the ground.
Prius. Well, just been hanging out in your Prius and putting your makeup on in the rear view.
I don't actually have a Prius. I don't have a Prius. I know. I feel like... Poor Prius. Poor Prius. Right? Or Prii. Plural of Prius.
You Prii'd it. Look at you. You're so intelligent. Indirectly correcting me without correcting me. I love what you have inside of you. It's so calculated and strategic.
Oh, my God. And a little furtive. It's a little furtive and a little stealthy, but it's hard to say.
A little stealthy. Stealthy is a great word for you, actually. When you go to LA with the kind of background of Juilliard, do you find in the beginning that a lot of people are interested in working with you, or you get a little bit more clout? I find that as a performer from New York, and granted, most places I go, people might know who I am from a business sense because, you know, I've been around a little bit. But when you say you're from New York and what you do is based in New York, I feel like other cities, even LA, kind of go, okay, well, let's – they hear that. You know, it's something that registers.
It's helpful on your resume. But, you know, the Hollywood machine is so specific, and the Hollywood situation is about money. It's just about money. It really is. That's the way it is. It's always been that way. It will be that way, I think, for a long time. And I think here in LA, it's like, let's get them while they're young. Let's exploit, let's make as much money as we can, and then good luck to you, good riddance. Hollywood isn't necessarily keeping track. They don't necessarily care if you have a career. it's a money making machine. That's just the way that it is. And so as far as like, you know, your credentials, yeah, you know, it will get you maybe into the, it might get you into some rooms, but ultimately, you know, it has more to do with, you know, what you can bring and collateral and how much they think that they can make off you. But as far as theater, absolutely. If you're looking to do theater in Los Angeles or New York or anywhere else, it certainly is something that will, you know, maybe get you a meeting or but then at the end of the day, you know, you have to step through the room and knock their socks off at the end of the day.
No, of course. Yeah. No, I think it's
have to be right for the part but it's, there's some leverage there.
Yeah, no, it's like the whole purpose why I think people go to college is you don't go to college because you want education as much as you want to be able to network. You know what I mean? You got to figure out when you get out, like, hey, I'm an alumnus of this college. I think it's interesting that you say that because I'm in a position now where the youth movement is very real, and I know it's always been real, but even more so, especially specifically stand-up, there's a lot of situations where there's a lot of guys out there that maybe don't have the same background I do as far as they're prepared for something, but they have a certain look, or maybe they have it with social media, it's a certain following, and people invest a lot of money in them and give them a lot of opportunities in hopes to attract a certain amount of viewers. And I feel like that's something that it takes place quite a bit. I think that's interesting to kind of ask you about that. You did this movie 10 years ago, and you're by no means old. I mean, you look amazing. So how does that affect you? Because I feel like when I'm talking to you, you're a theater person, a New Yorker I'm talking to in L.A. I don't feel like I'm talking to some Hollywood. I mean, I know a lot of people in the industry just like you do, and you don't come across – and there's certain types like that person's very L.A. Like, you know, like that's an L.A. person. You don't strike me as that.
Well, the mentality of LA is what can I get? What can I get? But I think it's, you know, life becomes more interesting when you discover what you can give, you know, and I think that's not necessarily the LA way, but I sort of feel like life is more joyful, more rich when you're trying to give something, you know, and there's a lot of look at me and what can I get here and how much and celebrity. And of course, celebrity is very different than being an actor. Being a celebrity is totally distinct from being an actor. It's totally distinct.
Well, what's a great phrase that, a great line that De Niro has as he talks about, I had to make a choice of being an actor or a personality, and I chose actor. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think that's what you're saying. Essentially, celebrity is a whole different ballgame than it is being an artist, you know?
It really is. And certainly in the Venn diagram of it all, there can be an overlap. I like Venn diagrams. Do they still teach about Venn diagrams?
They do. I knew what you were saying when you said that. I love that you dropped the Venn diagram.
I do like the Venn diagram. I use Venn. I draw them on napkins sometimes. I'm trying to make a point. It's so obnoxious.
I'm learning so much about you. You and your Venn diagram doodling to your charitable ways, but also your stealthy, mysterious distance that you keep with strangers.
Well, since we've spoken, Josh, since we first talked, I was gang-alized at a baby shower by a gaggle of women who got my email address and put me on Facebook, and I am now on Facebook.
Look at you. So it's for the listeners out there that are going to Google Robin, because a lot of my listeners, they know I have attractive women on, so they're probably going to – even women, predominantly women, listen to my show, just in case you didn't know that shit. Robin is not present on Instagram. She's not present in a real way on Instagram. And I hate Instagram, but I understand the value of it. When you're an attractive female, you could really get some mileage out of it. But I think that's that separation where you're like, I'm an artist. I'm not a – you know, I don't necessarily have the need to be
– I don't know. I'm busy. I don't have time to put the pictures up. It's just so many buttons to push. I don't know, but I did join Facebook, and it's very exciting, although I do feel like I'm back in sixth grade because I have to like ask everyone to be my friend. Like, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? Like 1,000 times, will you be my friend? I'm requesting you be my friend. So there's a lot of
that. I have not gotten one request, audience. Mark that. I've gotten Facebook request from Robin Cohen.
I don't know how to yet. I'm still working the site. I haven't figured it out.
I don't even have a Facebook. I have a public page. I do not have a Facebook.
Okay.
I previously had an issue with sex, and I had to kill the Facebook Messenger because I was getting into trouble. So I do not have I have a Facebook page. Public page.
Yes. I'll try to find it.
A public figure, if you will.
figure.
A personality.
And then actually, I'm on Twitter. On the Twitter, I did my agent signing me up for Twitter tweet. And I now have, I think, 238 followers.
Hailing it. You know what, though? That's respectable because you're not active, right? It's the Instagram. Like, it's so funny because my Twitter following is far stronger than my Instagram because I'm a guy.
Yeah.
I'm okay looking, but by no means am I out there with my shirt off, like, representing.
But you're out there with a good energy. You're out there with you, Josh.
I got a good energy. I got a good Josh energy.
You're like bees to the honey. You're like honey to the bees.
Yes, bees, come taste this honey.
Honey to the bees. Honey to the bees, Josh. Yeah.
So, for me, I'm not obsessed with the Instagram because it's not really what I do. But I feel like you would be good on the Twitter as well as the Instagram. I think you have something to say. I think it's interesting. I think you having any kind of insight that you've already shared in this, whatever, 30 minutes you've been with me, I think that in 160 characters could be interesting. I'm just saying.
Thank you. And I did try to post some things that I thought were inspiring or motivational. And I did get back some show me your tits. Like, who cares about your – I was like, show me your tits. So it's interesting.
Oh, I'm really sorry about that. That was me.
Yeah.
I apologize for that, Robin. It's before I actually knew you.
No, thanks for coming clean. I appreciate that. Good man. Good man, Josh.
It wasn't me, guys. Stop.
But you know, we'll see what develops. I'm nascent.
I think that's interesting. Show me your tits.
Like I literally like retweeted something from Eckhart Tolle, and they said, "Show me your tits."
I love Eckhart Tolle. I love Eckhart Tolle.
I love the Eckhart. I like.
You know, you got to read. This is sorry, everybody, but I'm going to go into something private with Robin on the air. You got to read. There's a John Wooden book you got to read that you would love. It's not about basketball necessarily. It's about life. That's very. It has that same kind of vibe. I'll tell you it off air what it is, and maybe you can check it out. It's an easy read.
Okay.
It's quick.
Okay.
But I think you would really like it. That being said, I think it's interesting when any – it's so funny because nowadays this is the thing now. Since you don't know, on Instagram, this is what women are doing that are attractive to get followers. They literally post any picture which shows a lot of ass or breasts, and then underneath it, their captions – are their own agenda, which is like terrible Marilyn Monroe quotes. Like, if you can't accept me at my worst, then you don't deserve me at my best. It's like the awfulness of these. And people never read that shit. They just keep liking the picture.
Yeah.
So maybe if you would have posted that picture or that retweet of Eckhart Tolle in some hot pants.
Married the two, right?
You would have shut that person up about showing your tits.
Maybe I will. I need a coach. Maybe you can coach me or be my mentor in all this.
I'm telling you right now, if you gave me a month with you, you would have 10,000 Instagram followers like that.
Really?
Easily. Oh my God, yes.
All right, well maybe we'll barter. We can, let's talk off air.
We will talk. I'm telling you, because I study the social media concept, even though I find it to be awful. You have so much that you could do to make that happen.
Really?
In my opinion.
Yeah, interesting. And then it's like, well, what are you after? Like, what do we want? What do we want in life? We want to feel connected. We want to feel admired. We want to feel like we have something to give. We want to feel like we matter. And maybe
what do you want, more importantly? Like, I'm dying to know what you want as an individual. What do you want right now? Because you're in a position now where you're working, you're doing your thing, but what ultimately do you want?
I love being connected through the arts. I love being in inspirational environments, and I love, you know, joy and making people laugh and giving them an uplift. We're in a tough state, here. I mean, there's an iceberg right ahead,
mm-hmm.
I think, for the human race. And I guess, I don't know. I think art, you know, I've seen plays and things. I've gone to the theater and I've seen things that have changed my life forever, you know, and that have, I think, have upgraded humanity. I think, you know, all the way, you know, from Shakespeare to Arthur Miller, I think there are artists that have something to say and writers that have something to say and need actors to say those things that could, you know, could be one for the team of humanity. I just think that we're in so much trouble now with with
the state of affairs is very bleak.
It's really scary. It's really scary. So, but as far as what I want, yeah, I want to give love and joy and
That's
to be inspired and
stay inspired.
And I want to work with great people. I want to connect with great people where there's, you know, something greater than the sum of its parts.
I want
things that touch and move and inspire, things that make, you know, listen, artwork isn't necessarily going to change people's lives, but it's certainly going to hold up a mirror and
it's
have them
progress.
Mm-hmm. It's progress, and
progress.
I want great love and passion and pleasure and joy, and I want to, you know, uplift, and I don't know, any interaction you ever have with anyone, whether it be this or in a play, it's like you know, you're going to leave people with something every time, no matter what. You're going to leave people with something. You're going to leave them with something, and I'm very curious, like, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? What are you going to leave them with? Because no matter what, in every instance, they'll be left with something. And I'm very interested in what that something is, you know. And I don't know. I like hiking.
And on a side note, I really love hiking as well as I'm a hobbyist. I put together some ships. Okay. I think that sums you up for the most part that you – it's all these selfless, amazing things, and then I enjoy hiking.
But I also have that Dionysian energy, Josh. I'm not going to pretend I don't have that Dionysian. That, you know, I absolutely do. I absolutely do, and that's part of the gig too, being human and pleasure.
Are you an egomaniac? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Robin? Are you trying to come clean on this show that you're an egomaniac? You have a raging ego.
That's a good question. I'll look. Let me look.
You don't know if you have an ego or not. You can't answer yes or no to that. Everyone has an ego, but egomaniac is different.
Absolutely. I'm trying to find a quote for you. Hold on.
Oh, you're looking stuff up.
Yeah.
Everybody, just take a break. Robin's doing some Googling while we're on the air. It's a very professional show we're doing here.
After. I'll do it.
No. Find the quote. I think that's funny.
No.
She's literally flipping her hair and Googling as she thinks about hiking. She's Googling her route on Runyon Canyon right now.
I have been recently to Runyon Canyon. It's a good canyon. There's a lot of makeup on Runyon Canyon. There's less on Fryman Canyon and Topanga Canyon. Yeah.
Where does it happen? Where do people take escorts? Like, what part of the canyon at night is where you can find
Runyon,
gay sex?
Runyon Canyon. Runyon
Canyon's where it's at, right?
Oh, I can't vouch for gay sex on the canyon. I mean, it's pretty public. I've never seen it myself. But I'm sure it goes down. I mean, I'm sure it's all going down.
Echo Park, Roy Rogers
Park, Roy Rogers. Oh, the Will Rogers Park. That's a
Will Rogers.
Oh, check out the Will Rogers Park if you come to LA. That's a good trail. Will Rogers Park. It's his ranch.
And you could get some gay stuff going too if you need that in your life. We don't judge. We want you to have fun. We want you to be you.
But I hope I do. And I hope this is real enough for you. Was it, I don't want to, you know, you said it was mysterious. Can I tell you something? Brass tacks that would be useful for this program.
All right, let's do it. Brass tacks it up, Robin. We're waiting.
No, I just feel like I don't want to stand aloof.
No, okay, all right. Let's be really clear. You have not been aloof.
Okay.
I think it's a personality thing. I'm loving it. But then again, like, I'm crushing on you. So, of course, like... You know, to my fiance, she knows me very well. She knows.
You
she
have
knows
a fiance?
My triggers. Oh, she's so awesome! Like, she's so open and awesome. She's gonna love this. She can't wait. She's so great. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk off air because I don't want to give too much of her personality away. Because you know, she's private. She's not in our world.
I got you.
Yes, I can be very open and frank.
Right. Lucky
I am the master of my own domain in a respectful way. I
dominant.
Lead the dance. I lead the dance, okay, Robin? Unlike this today.
It was phenomenal. It was unbelievable. It was show-stopping.
Unlike today, where you have tried to dom me from the bottom. All right, here's the definition. It's when someone baits you that they are a submissive – not that Robin's submissive, but they're like, I'll go along with what – let me follow your lead. But then they can do little things in the conversation to attempt to dominate it. And she's a pro. Watch out for Robin Cohen. She's a pro.
Just saying,
but you have not been aloof. You've been very I mean, we're not even done yet. So stop trying to get out of here early.
I don't want. Listen, I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm here.
Thank you. Finally, you're giving yourself to me. She is. You have not been aloof. You've been very upfront and very cool and very engaging. You've been great. So you're
Thank
good.
Thank you. Thanks.
But brass tacks, by all means, please, reveal.
Yeah, I mean, what else might I tell you? Well,
do you date actors? Do you date people in your field? Or do you prefer to date rabbis religious men or finance?
Now we're getting into it.
Now we are.
I dated a man that wasn't Orthodox. I shouldn't tell you. This might be... And he turned out to be a former drug lord.
Wow.
That was a shocker. And so we didn't date after that, after I found that out.
But
he'd gone through rehab and all that, and sort of he had you know, transformed his life by the time I met him. Although when I the first time we went out, I did say to him, you know, so and so, you seem like you have some secrets.
I think I bought coke off you in 2003.
He did. He had an energy. Like, there was something going on. Speaking of furtive and stealthy, there was something going on, which I couldn't quite. It was just in the air. And I said, he said, well, since you've brought it up, I do have a past. And his was pretty massive in the world of, international drug trade. But so we didn't date for a long time, but interesting guy. And then I have dated actors, and I have dated non-actors. And, my
first
love.
Do you only date Jewish people? When I first moved to New York, I worked at the 92nd Street Y, which is a very prominent Jewish community center here in New York City. It's been around for over 100 years. I ran the May Center, which is the gym there, and they had a lot of co-eds that stayed in the dorms in the Y, and a lot of them were obviously Jewish women. My tattoos were covered. And my name is Josh, and I am Sicilian, but you could also confuse that here in New York for Jewish.
Sephardic, means Spanish, too.
Very nice. So, you love the Spanish. That's your go-to. A lot of women would come up to me, and they would be very engaging, and they would want to go out. But the minute they saw tattoos, they would get obviously that was the code of I was not Jewish.
Right.
And... they wouldn't date me. And are you one of those women? Do you only date Jewish men?
No, not at all. I've dated the majority of people I've gone out with have not been Jewish. Majority. My sister is, not to throw her under the bus, but she's married. No, she married a Roman Catholic, and there are factions of my family that are pretty religious, but mine is Reform, and the Reform movement. Is basically a Jewish movement that was started in America where Jews said, hey, listen, we don't want to be isolating ourselves. We don't want to separate ourselves. We need to assimilate. We've seen what can happen when we don't assimilate. So they created a sort of Americanized form of the Jewish religion, which is called
Reform. So you're practicing, but you're a Reform Jewish person.
Reform Judaism. Yeah. Like I've had like a bat mitzvah, you know what a bat mitzvah is?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I ran the gym.
Mazel tov. L'chaim, yes, L'chaim. Yeah, you've seen like Fiddler on the Roof. It's all that. So, but I don't necessarily, I don't keep, kosher. You know what that is? Like, I don't do that. It was more culturally growing up and family dinners that, were sort of arranged around some of the holidays. But
so
in my own life, I'm
Yom Kippur, the high holidays you're involved
big
in?
Money. I'll do the Yom Kippur, the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is like the new year. I go with my friends to some churches. I've been to church here as well.
You're an open-minded individual.
Non-denominational.
You want to taste all the spirits. All the spirituality.
I do. There's a religion called the Baha'i faith. Baha'i, which is like all, it's all the religions. It's a religion that says.
Now you're LA. Now you are an LA person. It just hit me. Now you're definitely LA.
So, yeah, but in terms of dating, no, it hasn't been. It's not a factor in whether I've stayed with someone or been with someone. It hasn't really.
Is it hard to date? Is it hard? I mean, I think LA is really hard to date. I think it might be a little bit harder than New York. Even have you found yourself? I mean, you're a lifer as far as performance goes. So I mean, just for me being on the road a lot, it took a long time for me excuse me, to find somebody that's down for what I do. And I don't want to be, that's the thing. I don't want to be tolerated.
Yes.
I want to be,
celebrated.
I don't want to be dealt with. I want someone to really enjoy the lifestyle that I have created for us. And it's hard for people to do that when they're pretty cut and dry. I mean, there's a lot of women that are 9 to 5 that don't understand that, hey, my hours aren't those hours. We have to adjust. Do you find that to be kind of difficult for you, especially being a female? Maybe it's a little bit more difficult. I don't know.
I used to find it extremely difficult, and I used to find it something that I used to think was in the way of my being in a relationship. I've managed, you know, I'm on my tax, I'm single. I've always been single on my tax returns. You know, there's,
okay. When you specify tax returns, are you going to that place where like, so I specify single, but maybe you're not? Like, are you alluding to a ulterior lifestyle that we should?
Well, you know, it is. You know what's going on now is that, you know, I mean, why not just be on? You know, at the moment, I no longer have an end game around relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer trying to make a relationship be a certain thing or become a certain thing. And that's changed the game recently. That's sort of more recent. I think in the past, and certainly in my early 20s and going through, relationships were next to impossible, not only because I had such a wildly unconventional schedule. I mean, if you look at an actor, we're performing on Saturday nights, Saturday matinees. When everyone else is having fun, we're their entertainment.
So there's no date night. I don't remember what Saturday night
looks like. Yeah, there's no date night. There's no nothing. It's completely unconventional. So that used to be a problem. But I think the bigger problem is that I think I was trying to like achieve something or get somewhere in the relationship rather than just be in the relationship and in the relatedness and enjoy it. And so that put a lot of pressure, I think. And as far, you know, I haven't had a very long-term relationship. I haven't had one. I'm not sure what it would even be like to...
Are you hard to get along with? It's because you're mysterious, right? You have a little bit of mystery to you. Is it? I'm asking.
I don't think I'm hard to get along with.
No, I don't think... I think you're very lovely.
I don't think I'm hard to get along with. I just think that now it might be harder to be in a committed relationship because I don't know that...
That's what you really want.
I don't know that that's what I'm after.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I think in my 20s, like I was trying to meet the guy, to get the right guy, get married, you know, and really sort of, and then when you're dating someone, it's all sort of measured and tempered against that. You know, it's all sort of like, is this the guy? And, you know, and but he's missing this, but he has that. And so that takes away. That takes
All right, real quick. What's the Robin Cohen checklist from her early 20s? Come on, let's go. Go for looks. What type did you have?
You want to know if I'm totally honest? In my early 20s, it's like, oh, he has to be a sexy jerk. That's early 20s for all girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to be a jerk. Yeah. Got to be mean. I've got to, you know, hash through all my shame from my childhood and be with a bad boy. And then so that's what you want.
Sorry, keep going. Sorry, that was my own. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Can I get a girl?
I mean. Amen to you. I can't hate on that, though. I probably scored many 20-somethings because of that.
You're too good for that. But so then that sort of changes, and then we grow up. And then so the checklist now is wildly different, you know. And there's really no checklist, right? Like it's sort of a moment-to-moment phenomenon, day-by-day phenomenon. And it's more about, you know, now it's sort of about being the best that you can be as an individual first, so that you can then just sort of grow that exponentially with another person and, you know, the two combined and make something great. But at the end of the day, we have to, I think I'm more interested in working things out on my end before I, you know, try to make someone else responsible for making my life better or for making me feel secure or this or that. Like, I think I want to be responsible for all that on my own.
All those things, right?
You know?
You're a work in progress like we all are. And if I think people lose sight of that, people lose sight that they always should be working on them. And I think it's really hard to have someone attached to you until you can figure that out, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, I want to bring – you know, the best of me to a relationship and hope that another person would bring that too. And then we see what develops.
That's
sounds
right. Cool.
Does this sound like weird church talk?
Weird what talk? What'd you say?
Church talk, like weird.
No, I don't think it's not churchy. I think people have to hear
I'm
this.
Like, oh, this is just my own experience.
No, I think you're right. I mean, this show is very balanced in the sense that I have women on that talk about blowjobs for half an hour, and I have women on that talk about what you're saying. I mean, it's a give and take. It's a great balance. All right.
I mean, that's so cool. You're so open to it, Josh. That's awesome. That's what makes your show radical.
yeah, that's what it is. I think, to your point, people need to hear that stuff, and I feel like hearing it from you is different than hearing it from someone else. You haven't come off as preachy, so you're good.
Good.
You're being true to you, Robin.
I'm looking to be. I don't know.
Let's assess you. Okay, let's just do a quick we'll run down the line. I'll just a quick summary. Robin is slightly distant. Cold. She has warmth. She has a little bit of a wall up. When it comes to dating, it's day by day, so that probably means she probably could see any number of people in a week and have some kind of connection with them that probably won't last very long. But at the end of the day, she's had those connections. And she loves to hike. So I think we've covered. Plug what you're doing. Please plug your newly – is your Facebook for friends or for fans too? I'm confused.
Well, you can coach me on that. Is that something like
– Yeah, we should probably talk about that. But your Twitter is for fans.
I have 200.
We're going to get you more. That's the point. We're going to get you more.
And Instagram I'm not on. We'll see what develops. But as far as what's upcoming, I guess I would post those kinds of things on Twitter. Is that where the place to post them? And then I just did a movie. You want me to plug like
– Okay, let's do this. Give us your handle. What is your Twitter handle? Okay. What's the name they can find you at?
It's at the
– The?
Robin Cohen. Robin Spell Cohen. Robin. R-O-B-Y-N. Mm-hmm. Robin's with a Y.
Yes,
I don't know why. I was coming out of the birth canal and they put a Y in my name. And people are like, why did he spell your name with
birth
a Y?
Birth canal is very erotic. Let's stay on the task here, okay? It's at the Robin Cohen, RobynCohen, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
So go find her there and tell us about the movie you have coming out. And also where not only they can see it, but where they can keep track with it. Can they keep track with it on your Twitter because that's where you're going to promo it? Or is there a website? Or both.
Okay, so the next couple things coming out. I have a movie that just came out with Adam Carolla called Road Hard. That's just now streaming on Amazon. Called Road Hard. It's Adam Carolla and Howie Mandel and David Allen Greer. It's a comedy.
Who do you play in that, real quick? Who do you play in that?
I play a mysterious walled-off hotel clerk. Okay.
Wow, look at that. Look at those typecasting. They must know you.
I'm kidding. No, I play a girl that sort of gives Adam Carolla a hard time at the front desk because he keeps, you know, demagnetizing his keys.
Oh, hotel? Okay, yeah.
I'm trying to school him.
Awesome.
So there's a movie which is in production now called Bedeviled, which stars this beautiful 16-year-old, and she's got quite a following on Twitter. Saxon is her first name. She's in the new Poltergeist movie. She's been on television and sitcom. She's a child star since she was 9 years old. She's been in television, and so now she's in this movie with me. I'm playing opposite her in Bedeviled, so that'll be coming out. And then I did a James Franco film called Bukowski, which is all about Bukowski, and that'll be coming out soon too.
He's playing Bukowski?
No, he directed it. He's not in it.
Oh, great. Yeah, Bukowski's an ugly guy. I love Bukowski, but they better get someone really ugly to play him.
It focuses on Bukowski from birth to, like, his college, the early years. Like, Ham and Rye. You know the book Ham and Rye, which deals with his – it's basically like a biography of his youth, and so that's
awesome.
Coming out.
Great. That's awesome. I love you. You're incredible.
I love you, Josh.
That's my girl. That's my girl. Way to go, Robin. If you're listening, you're awesome. You're awesome, Pookie Bear. I don't know if that's not a nickname I call her. I'm just trying to make it more loving. Make sure you go follow Robin at the Robin Cohen. on Twitter. I'm trying to talk to get an Instagram because all attractive women should have Instagram. Because if I was an attractive woman, I would have it and I would use the shit out of it to get stuff. But I am not an attractive woman. I'm an awkward comedian. That's what I do. I have many talents, though, that Instagram does not promote. Go check out Robin's movie with Adam Carolla. I saw some clips of it. It's awesome. I can't wait to see it. She has yet to forward me the screener, which I don't know if she's allowed to do. But I'm probably just going to have to go buy it, which is not a problem. I want to support my girl Robin, so you guys go do that too. That being said, we're here all the time. I want to thank, you know, Podomatic and also RadioIO.com for syndicating the program. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being in support of the show. Also, you can always email me directly, slampickpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll make sure to read some of these emails on the air. And that being said, I love you. You can always see... I just got a lot of love in me tonight. I'm a little hungover, too. I'm just going to be honest. You can catch me at Josh Accardo on Twitter, at Josh Accardo on Instagram, and also joshaccardo.com for all my touring dates. Come on by, say hello, tell me you like the show, and you know, maybe I'll even have you on. It'll be fun. So I hope you guys have had a great holiday. I hope you're glad to have me back. I'm glad to be back, and I can't wait to talk to you again. That being said, I'll catch you on the flip side.